Lord, open our minds and our hearts now as we go through your word to be with mom and teaching us that message. In Christ's name. Our first scripture today is from Exodus 20, 12, and 21, 17. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. And Deuteronomy 5. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. And Isaiah 29. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. And Matthew 15, 20. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Jesus replied, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me, is a gift devoted to God. He is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them, they are blind shadows. If a blind man leaves a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Peter said, explain that parable to us. Are you still so dull? Jesus asked them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. The word of the Lord.
I have a little quiz for you today. I know how much we like pop quizzes. So, how many Presbyterians does it take to change a light bulb? 12! We always have to do everything by committee. How many Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? 5! 1 to change the light bulb, and 4 to talk about and explain how good the old one was. And then, since Jack is here, how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Change? We do like our traditions, don't we? And The thing about jokes, what makes them amusing to us is there's always a little element of truth to them, isn't there? And we Presbyterians, of course, we don't do anything without a committee. And so we have to notice those things about ourselves, and most of them deal with what our different traditions are. And of course, this passage in Matthew, Jesus is addressing traditions. Which reminds me also of a story I heard about a church that's having a little reception and celebration after the worship service for a person, a man who had been a member of that congregation for 50 years. Somebody went up to him afterwards and said, "My gosh, in 50 years in this church, you must have seen a lot of change." And he said, "Yes, and I was opposed to all of that." Isn't that like what we're like? We really don't like change, but really, it's one of the things that is always constant in our lives. But we don't like change here in church very much. We do have our traditions. And I look back after 14 years, I look at this place. Think of all the changes that have happened in that period of time. Sanctuary space seemed this other way. It was a dark walnut instead of white. You're now sitting on fairly comfortable chairs instead of those old pressure pews. We've got a new site, we've got a new roof. Lots and lots of physical changes, but hopefully there have also been changes within us. God wants us to grow. And growth only happens through change. And Jesus is addressing some of those sacred traditions in this passage. And it's a little hard sometimes for us to understand some of this. Sometimes traditions are good. Sometimes they're not. And so we have to examine all of our traditions and decide what we need to maintain and what we may need to change. Both extremes are hazardous to us. Tradition and hanging on to the past solely for the reason that it's part of our tradition, it's always the way we've done something. But change just for change's sake also, at the other extreme, doesn't work either. So Jesus gives us some clues here how we need to evaluate and what we need to do. So let me help you understand a little bit more about this passage that we have. First of all, some Pharisees and teachers of the law. Teachers of the religious law. Remember, these are not lawyers, right? These are teachers of religious law. They're the pastors, Sunday school teachers, seminary professors. That's who's there with the Pharisees. And every time we read Pharisee, we quickly judge them, don't we? We think, oh, those bad Pharisees. As soon as we see them. And as soon as we get them, we become a Pharisee ourselves. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt until we prove otherwise, okay? Some Pharisees and teachers, well, they came to Jesus from Jerusalem. They traveled all the way up to Galilee, probably a couple day journey, maybe more, to see Jesus. That's very much a key here. They are testing him. They're trying to see who this guy is. They heard about this new rabbi who's attracting huge crowds. They're wondering, could he in fact be the Messiah? And they're trying to see, how is he doing things? And is he doing it right or not? And they notice, and they're alarmed. They see that his disciples are not following their traditions. Now, this tradition of hand washing before you eat, who has that tradition today? I haven't seen every hand here, right? We do it for hygiene reasons. They didn't. This was a tradition, and it came in part from their desire to follow God's word. But they expanded what God's word was. You see, before a priest could minister before the Lord, the priest had to go through a ritual washing and hand washing before they could serve in the temple. And so if it's good enough for the priest, well, we ought to expand it to everybody, shouldn't we? That was their thinking. That was their intent. If it's good enough, if it's what we have to do before the priest can go in before the Lord, then everybody should follow it. Their intent was okay, but their carrying it to an extreme was not. So they're accusing Jesus. If your disciples don't do it, you're not teaching the right thing, because your disciples should be following these ritual purity laws to try to get closer to God. And if they're not doing that, then that should cast a doubt on all of his teaching, doesn't it? In their eyes, it did. And so they're questioning him about it. Now, their question could be somewhat neutral. Why is it we want to understand this? I'm giving them, again, the benefit of the doubt. But Jesus responds in a way that says their question really did not have a good motive. He responds in a fairly harsh way, and he says, your traditions, in carrying out some of your traditions, you violate God's commandments. And he uses the commandment of honoring father and mother. Honoring the father and mother in God's eyes, as one of the Ten Commandments, included caring for your parents in their when they became elderly. And within the tradition of the Pharisees and the religious leaders and rulers at the time, they had come up with, there's another place where people could dedicate all that they have to the Lord. They could make a dedication and a vow. And they said that this kind of a dedication of money to the temple superseded everything else. And so people would dedicate things that should otherwise go to their parents in their old age to be taken care of. And they said, well, you gotta give money to the temple. That's what's happened to you. They have changed the intent of God's law and found a way to basically improve the coffers of the temple or the church. We can never let something like that happen. Jesus confronts them directly on that and says, don't come to me with your traditions, because your traditions contravene, in this other area, contravene God's commandment to you. So don't you dare notice that the disciples at Jesus' response, they said, they come up to him and said, by the way, Jesus, did you know that the Pharisees were offended by that? You think Jesus knew? No. Okay. Now, was his intent to offend or to teach and correct? Sometimes teaching and correction can be offensive to a student. Anybody like being corrected? I don't think so. I know I certainly don't, but sometimes teaching can offend us. That's because of our own pride and our arrogance. Something that we need to accept the teaching. We need to accept the correction to do. And that's very hard to do. It's a lesson for us. Then he goes on. Instead of just correcting and rebuking them, he calls them hypocrites. Of course, that's something that we don't like being labeled ourselves, but frequently we label others. A hypocrite, the Greek word hypocrite basically means you're an actor. You're wearing, remember the old Greek plays? You put on a big mask. You're pretending to be someone whom you are not. Like you have a mask on and you're becoming an actor. Does it work? No. People can see right through those things. And Jesus saw right through. They're pretending. They're acting to be pious when they are not, is what Jesus is saying. And then he quotes Isaiah. And Isaiah, of course, was speaking to specific people at a time where God, they're coming at God's judgment, and Jesus says, that prophecy of Isaiah applies to you all right now. And you think you're being pure? No. You're honoring God closer with your lips, but your hearts are very far away. And then he goes to, Jesus calls the crowd to him. The Pharisees are still there in the crowd. He's no longer talking just to them. He's talking to the crowd around as they're listening in on these conversations with the Pharisees. And he says, what goes into your mouth does not defile you, but what comes out of your mouth, that's what makes you unclean or defiled. Now we know the answer because he's kind of, but stop and think about those initial people who heard this. Put yourself in their shoes, or get my shoes or head, okay? Try and go back there at that time. And we think of Peter, and obviously Jesus is arguable, still so dumb. Well, they're trying to understand. And we've got the benefit, we know the end of the story. But they're trying to understand, they don't understand. What does he mean by what comes into you, does it? What comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your mouth normally? If you're sick, you don't like what comes out of your mouth, right? And Jesus is talking about words. And he explains that to you. The words that come out of your mouth are important because it shows really what you're thinking and how you're feeling. You can't hide your true nature from somebody when they know you over time and they listen to you for a while. What comes out of you, either through your words or through your actions, shows who you really are. You can't keep the mask on very long with your kids, can you? They know who you are. They watch you. Other people who are close to you, people in the community, they see you when you're in the line at the grocery store and if there's a mistake there or something. How do you react? Can you help when a cashier rings something up wrong and overcharges you? You can't hide who you are very long in a counter. That's what Jesus is talking about. And he says it's not what goes into you, it's what comes out of you. Now, in the same passage in Mark gives a little editorial. Many of you may know it, but Mark gives a little narrative aside. He says, by this statement, Jesus was making all foods clean. Because, of course, part of the Jewish ritual system was that certain things were unclean. And Mark makes it clear. So just so you know, in case you missed it, everything is now appropriate. No more cleaning than unclean foods. Jesus goes on and he says, what comes out of your heart. Now, we have to understand a little difference between the first century Jewish people and ourselves. When we say something comes out of our heart, we're talking about primarily our emotions, aren't we? That's the way we use that. Not so for them. We view our logic, our intellect, our thought processes coming from our brain and our emotions from our heart. Is that fair? They view the heart as the center of the body. So what came out of the heart was the intellect, the thinking, the things that you think about and dwell on. So for us, maybe you need if you write a note to yourself in the Bible, maybe you need to change heart to brain. So we think of it that way. What comes out of your brain, how you think about things, is what truly influences you. What do you spend your time on? What do you focus on? What do you keep putting into your brain in terms of your conversations with other people, in terms of what you look at, the things that you concentrate on? You know, I have those little machines, right? Where we operate with our thumbs. I don't have to do that. I have to use my own. But what is it that is important that we keep putting into our brain? That's what influences us. And what Jesus emphasizes here in this passage is we need to keep putting into our brains, or hearts, or maybe both, is Scripture. It's not, I find it a coincidence we chose today for commissioning our Sunday school teachers, and we have this passage, which of course I chose probably a year ago to preach on this day. We need to put Scripture deep into our heads and deep into our hearts. And it can't just come from a casual reading. It can't just come when we say, oh, well, I've got this question, I go to some book and I find this one Scripture verse that's supposed to be my answer. It is a lifelong learning process where we need to keep putting Scripture into our heads, into our hearts, so that is what we are dwelling on. That's what we're thinking about. So that when we need to act or speak, it's coming from that Scripture. What about you? Are you involved in a Bible study right now? Do you attend Sunday school? Are you committed to a lifelong learning more about God, about Jesus, by studying this book that we all have? Or, you have one of these at home, keep it there on your shelf, try to get a little dusty from time to time, going, oh, I got it there, when I need it, I can open it up. Well, sometimes you might get lucky and say, oh, well, I need God right now. Right there, right? Open it up and point to some page. Certainly God can direct your finger. And it might answer the question. But isn't it better to store up God's Word in your head, in your heart, for reading? I invite you to be on a lifelong quest to know more and to learn more. He loves you dearly, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And he speaks to us most clearly when we are reading and studying. This is his love letter to you, and he wants it not to be advertised on your shelf, but to be opened up, speaking.